We'll begin our service with the opening hymn printed in the Tan Order of Service, which you will find in your hymnals, if you will please rise in body or spirit. Everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Winona. My name is Jim Armstrong, and I've been a member since 2011, and along with my 2001, my wife is an older one, along with my lovely wife Laura and my lovely daughter Pippa. I also serve on the Sunday Service Committee. If you're new to our Sunday fellowship, we especially welcome you. We hope you enjoy the service and find yourself challenged and supported for your work in the world. We invite you to stay for coffee and conversation after the service. Are there any introductions by our greeter? Or would anyone like to introduce him or herself?
Well, we have Karina Shepherd joining us. We do welcome Karina.
Welcome. All right, we do have a few announcements this morning. The K through 4th grade RE class will begin its section on the Day of the Dead. Children in that group should bring a photo or other memento representing a person or pet that has passed on. The second, the UU group ages 9 through 12 will The UU group grades 9 through 12 will meet this next Wednesday, October 15, at 6 p.m. at the Acoustic Cafe. I have an announcement from Margaret. The cleanup after the our wonderful book sale, which netted us so much money this year, and we're very proud of ourselves for that, but we still have some books that the library did not want to take and that are sitting on Margaret Keeney's front porch. So I'm going to take a box of books. There are six boxes of books. I'm going to take one. I need five people to volunteer, and here's the deal. All you really have to do is take the box of books and then take it over to the Salvation Army and donate it. It's just that Margaret didn't want to go and donate like six boxes of books all at once, because she was afraid they would. I don't know why she was worried about that, but why should she do it anyway? We should do it. So could I have some volunteers who would be willing to just pick a box of books off of their front porch? That's three, four. I just need two more. There. Good. All right. Wait a minute. I only needed five, so you guys are off the hook. But just go after church or whatever, pick it up, put it in your car, and then when you get a chance, take it to your favorite thrift shop or something, and maybe they'll be able to make a little money off of it. And that is it for announcements. Next Sunday's program is going to be Brianna Mellum, who we always enjoy hearing from, and she's going to be talking about spirituality. And, of course, this Sunday we're talking about music and spirituality, and we're talking about cloud cult. And John Chernega will be leading us in that. So at this time we will affirm our community by saying together the chalice reading as printed in the order of service. And I need to get our flamethrower. We have come together today. Now is the time to make this our place. We are Unitarian Universalists. We light this chalice. It is our symbol. It represents all of the important things which make us who we are and which hold us together. Let us create our space together and make for ourselves a safe place to grow and learn and to be fully who we are. And now, please rise in body or spirit while we sing hymn number 44.
Thank you.
I put this shell in the water for our third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. We invite you now to place a shell in the water in celebration of or in concern for a person or an event in your life so that we may share in your joy or give you comfort in your sorrow.
I've got two shells. I spent the last week with my 90-year-old uncle who is facing all kinds of issues, and it suddenly made me really realize what handicapped accessibility means. And I'll notice that from now on. And the other thing is, tomorrow Gary and I are going to go visit Joe and Peggy Cameron. So I'll tell them that I said hi for you guys.
After church today, we get to go to the apple orchard and pick pumpkins.
What are you going to say?
No, you say it.
Yesterday we went down for Live at the Levee, and he wiggled his bones to, what was it? What was his name?
Jesus.
What was the name of the band?
Bone Jugs and Harmony.
Bone Jugs and Harmony. It was fun. They had kazoos and
xylophones.
I love that hat.
I'd like to put a shell in because Jenna and I will be celebrating our 13th anniversary tomorrow.
Yay!
I'm not sure you'll join me with this, but I'm putting a shell in for Chartwell. They stepped it up last week. And more importantly, they told us that they are now using greenware for it, so that the cups are the paper cups that will decompose.
I'd like to put a shell in a joy. Friday night we had our Woody Guthrie tribute concert, and we have, I think, at one point 80 people there, and we're singing and thinking about Woody Guthrie, and it was really, really cool. It just made me feel happy to be in this community, and happy that the Blue Heron even did Depression-era coffee treat and coffee cake with peaches or something to... Everybody had a great time, so it was really fun.
This shell is for the cemetery walk. There's a bunch of people in this community that puts a bunch of effort into getting it coordinated, writing the scripts, and then all the actors that are a part of it. And today from noon to 3 is our last part of the cemetery walk. Come on down. You actually get to see me perform for the first time in my life. So, kind of fun.
Oh, we did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to do
it's for Halloween decorations. I didn't decorate for Halloween.
That was for Myra, her daycare, who was sick on Friday. Oh. Making us appreciate her services all the more. She's well.
Well, this is an appreciation for all those who do the cemetery walk. I went yesterday, and it was very moving, and it was the different aspects of war throughout the years from the Civil War on, and the number of men and some women from Winona who have participated. And it's the weather's beautiful, the trees are fantastic, and the acting was superb. Actually, Paul was one of the most moving ones, representing a soldier from Winona who eventually died but was wounded in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. I need your
very helpful, by the way.
I have a concern and two joys, I guess. I'll just put in one shell. But I know you're tired of hearing about my health problems, and I'm tired about telling you, but I've had a pinched nerve this week that is just sending me through the roof with pain, and I'm kind of back where I've been a couple other times. So that is my concern, if you could just send healing thoughts. The two joys are Ben got to play with a band this weekend, a couple concerts, and that went great. A band he hasn't played with before, so that's a lot of fun. Driftwood Bones, if you've heard of them. And then the real joy is today is our end of fantasy baseball season party, in which, who was the league champion again? It was me. I think it was me. Yeah. I think it was me. And I beat Ben, and I beat Isaac, and I beat John, and I beat Paul and EJ, and so I had to rub it in a little bit. And Oscar.
Oh, Oscar.
We will now take a moment of silence for these joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken. The basic religious response is to feel generous because you feel lucky to be graced with life and with this beautiful world around us. And so we affirm our fellowship and its service to the larger world through our generous gifts as we pass the offertory baskets. If you're giving a portion of your pledge, please, as cash, put it in an envelope and put your name on it. And now, will the children please come forward for today's story? When the story is over, the children will leave for religious education. We'll stand and sing to the children, "Go Now in Peace," as printed in the order of service, one time together and once as a round with the people on my right starting.
A service about music today, so I brought a story about an insect that makes its own music, a very quiet cricket. Although Pippa wants everybody to know that if you have a lot of crickets who live in your room, they're not necessarily quiet. This is called the Very Quiet Cricket. One warm day, from a tiny egg, a little cricket was born. "Welcome," chirped a big cricket, rubbing his wings together. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened. Not a sound. "Good morning," whizzed a locust, spinning through the air. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened. Not a sound. "Hello," whispered a praying mantis, scraping its huge front legs together. The little cricket wanted to answer, so what did he do? Yeah, he rubbed his little wings together, but nothing happened. Not a sound. "On a good day," crunched the worm, munching its way out of an apple. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his little wings together. And he rubbed them some more, but nothing happened. Not a sound. "Hi," bubbled a spittle bug, slurping in a sea of froth. The little cricket wanted to answer him, too. So he rubbed his little wings together, but still, nothing happened.
"I have this book."
"Oh, you have this book? Isn't it awesome?"
Yeah.
"Good afternoon," screeched a cicada, clinging to a branch of a tree.
My book makes a sound like a noise.
I know, that's going to happen later. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his little wings together, but he still couldn't make a sound. How were you, hummed a bumblebee, flying from flower to flower? The little cricket wanted to answer so badly. Yes, so he rubbed his little wings together, but still nothing happened. Okay, tell me after the story, okay? Good evening, whirred a dragonfly gliding above the water. The little cricket wanted the answer. So he rubbed his little wings together, and he still couldn't make a sound. Good night, buzzed the mosquitoes, dancing among the stars. The little cricket wanted to answer them, too. So he rubbed his little wings together, but he still couldn't make a sound. A Luna moth sailed quietly through the night, and the cricket enjoyed the stillness. As the Luna moth disappeared silently into the distance, the cricket saw another cricket. She, too, was a very quiet cricket. Then he rubbed his wings together one more time. And this time, what happened? Yeah, he chirped the most beautiful sound that she had ever heard. And that's me.
This service has a long and illustrious pedigree. At first, Bob was going to give it, and then Bob had to go to the hospital, and then John agreed to take over, and then I was supposed to be in charge of technology, and I got here and I realized that they had completely rearranged the technology setup from last time I used it, and I'd forgotten my dongle, which if you're a Mac user, you know that that's one thing you can never do. And as I was driving past WSU, I was saying to myself, well, surely John has a dongle? I know, and it's one of those things where you say, you know, belt and suspenders, but say, no, I'll just get here and everything will be swell. But I think we're going to pull it together. I think we're going to pull it through in the spirit of cloud cult or something like that. So we're continuing with our discussion of the spirituality of music, and John will lead us talking about cloud cult, and I'm going to be like Oz in the back, not that Oz, but Oz in the back playing with technology. Pay no attention to me.
We can only see a small part of everything and nothing. When you finally know you can't know, step forward. And if you don't believe in miracles, it comes with every single heartbeat. Another opportunity to step forward. And everybody here is trying so hard to make things a little better. All we are saying is step forward. So Bob Youngerman was unable to speak about cloud cult today. Now you've got me here instead. And with all the technical things going on, I'd like to just get my apologies out now. I'll tell you a little bit about my own personal experience with cloud cult. I first encountered cloud cult in the summer of 2007. And the band had actually been mentioned several times on a blog I had been reading at the time. Which is funny because it was a blog mostly of a guy who was eating disgusting food on a dare like third graders do. But he increasingly got more and more involved with Cloud Cult's album The Meaning of Eight to the point where they actually wrote a theme song for his blog. And so I had a passing recognition of the album when I saw it on my friends David and Jamie's house. And it turns out Craig and Connie Minowa from Cloud Cult are David's sister and brother-in-law. And so now, I know it might sound like, I'm bringing in this information like some kind of reckless name-dropping, and maybe you'll get the impression that I'm just desperately trying to show off my Cloud Cult cred, because Bob can't be here. But I was a groomsman at David and Jamie's wedding. Jenna bought the band's 2008 album, Feel Good Ghosts, and we listened to it in her car. And I remember asking her what she thought of it, and she said, you know, I think it really has two good songs on it. I really like track number two, Everybody Here is a Cloud, and Journey of the Featherless, track number six. And I like that one, too. That was the one where they said, I wrote you a love poem, the best I've written. My favorite words were the ones I couldn't spell. But, you know, you get a CD into the car, and you listen to it over and over and over again. And about a week or so later, she said, honestly, you know, the even-numbered tracks in this are all really fantastic songs. And then a little bit after that, we agreed, you know, after listening to it a few more times, that, hey, this is just an all-around really good album. Now, Jenna's car's got a multi-disc player on it. And you'll remember that my car was out of commission because somebody had shoved a bunch of quarters into the slot thinking it was a coin slot. But for Jenna's car, Feel Good Ghosts actually remained in the mix for the rest of that year. It was just something that, you know, when we got time to changing out the CDs, we never really wanted to take that one out. The album just seemed to get better and better. And I believe that getting better is Cloud Cult's great strength. Now, every band wants to get better. That's what rehearsals are for. But for Cloud Cult, this move towards self-improvement is something that drives every aspect of the band. It's a theme that we see in their dedication to the environment, in the way the band supports people in need, and in the underlying themes of the music. Beauty, love, sadness, fragility, hope, appreciation, and a constant drive toward making the most of the time we have. So I know a lot of people associate something sacred, something spiritual with Cloud Cult, and I'm curious about why this is. And I think it's this spiritual desire to improve ourselves, to make the world a better place than the one we were born into. Over and over again, Cloud Cult addresses these issues, reminding us that our potential and our purpose are one and the same. They sing, worry about what we're made to do, not what we're made of. They say we're made of chaos, I say we're made of love. And that's why our show starts now. And this is not a sentiment that we hear often in pop music, or in pop anything. We've come to expect this kind of a smirking wink, you know, when people talk about big picture issues. The worst thing to be, on the internet at least, is so effing precious that you might not know that someone's laughing at you behind your back. But Cloud Cult wears its emotions on its sleeve with utter sincerity. For example, one of their underlying philosophies, according to Craig, comes from the laws of thermodynamics. Energy that's been created cannot be destroyed. Everything we experience is energy that has kept on going and going and going, and we have the responsibility to decide how that energy should be used. The good deeds that we do echo throughout the entire universe. And meanwhile, Cloud Cult sings, what you feel makes part of what they'll feel. It's a chain reaction. Put out love, and they'll feel love. It's a chain reaction. And in that sense, Cloud Cult can be an easy band not to like. I mean, come on, they sing about the energy inside of us. They employ two artists who paint pictures in every show that they perform. The new album, the one with the wedding song in it, is just called Love. I mean, that's hokey. It's pretentious. It's twee. This is the 21st century. Where's the self-aware sarcasm, the jaded fables, the acknowledgement that aphorisms and cliches and wet dripping canvases can't solve the world's problems? Well, Minowa and Cloud Cult are well aware of these criticisms. And yet they continue in their sincerity. in their earnestness, partly because Craig doesn't want to write about anything other than that connection, that spirituality, and partly because the band receives countless letters from fans who say that their candor has changed their lives. For those in the right mindset, Cloud Cult can be an extraordinarily easy band to like. For those seeking answers or connection or reassurance that the darkness doesn't last forever, Cloud Cult is a celebration of life and love and grand mystery. They seem reluctant to let go of something that makes their audience lives better. And meanwhile, Cloud Cult sings, "There must be healing here because everyone here has been damaged and will wear it like a tattoo. Every scar is a smile." The painting that happens on stage is there to make things better, too. Connie Minowa is one of the painters, and of course, Craig's wife, and she says that she creates art because she wants to see beauty and convey something positive. She and fellow artist Scott Hall add a visual aspect to the performances with art that references the lyrics of the songs and kind of adds another layer to the story being told on stage. It's something else to look at and something else to connect to and something else to commemorate the performance. And meanwhile, Cloud Cult sings, "The scene begins with a hermit's melody sung by a bashful bird under a violet sky. There are no words, but there's understanding." The art is auctioned off after shows, and the money is usually used to fund upcoming albums. Often, however, the auction are used to raise money for worthy causes. Jenna and I saw a show last year where they were raising funds for someone who's a Cloud Cult fan whose father had died. She found out about it after returning from a Cloud Cult concert. And so she got in touch with the band and said that she'd had this wonderful experience and it helped her deal with the crushing news afterwards of hearing about her father. Cloud Cult also strongly supports environmental issues. And as a matter of fact, the cellist for Cloud Cult says that the band is as devoted to the environmental movement as it is to music. Cloud Cult albums are all released on Minowa's own record label, Earthology Records, partly because no other studio was up to Craig's environmental standards. All the CD inserts are printed on 100% post-consumer recycled paper with non-toxic soy ink and packaged into jewel cases that have either been recycled or salvaged. The band actually collects these jewel cases. They have drop-off points at college bookstores, and then they have parties where they get together and individually clean them off so they can reuse them. They use environmentally benign, low-density polyethylene for their shrink wrap instead of PVC, which is the toxic standard for the industry. They ship boxes with recycled packaging from a location powered by geothermal and wind energy, a location that, by the way, is an organic farm. When they go on tour, they use a van that uses biodiesel. Their merchandise is either post-consumer recycled or made from certified organic products. The band has planted thousands of trees to offset their CO2 output, and even their recording studio is earth-friendly, having been made from reused chicken coop and carpeting and an old tool shed. So this is not some fad for the band. This isn't something that they picked up for a green tour. This is part of their underlying philosophy. Cloud Cult songs are pro-environment, and so their practices have also backed that up. And again, we see the band taking an earnest approach to helping others. Again, we see the idea of interconnectedness, that what one group of people does can affect us all. And again, we see them striving to make things better, this time with their sights set on the entire world. And meanwhile, Cloud Cult sings, "It's okay if this world has a billion saviors, because there's so many things to be saved." Of course, before the band could make things better for the world around them, their big struggle was to heal themselves. The real story of Cloud Cult is the story of Caden Minowa, who was born in 2000. Craig has said, "I lose myself in my music, but I also lose myself in being a parent. You set yourself aside, and the child becomes the center of your universe. Caden discovered one of Craig's microphones, and Craig spent hours recording whatever Caden had to say. Craig had devoted so much of his time of Connie's pregnancy recording music to play to Caden in utero, and was moving toward putting together his next album. And then, in February of 2002, 2-year-old Caden went to sleep in his crib and never woke up. His sudden death devastated Craig and Connie. They split up for a year to mourn in solitude. Connie retreated to northern Minnesota to paint, and Craig holed himself up in his studio, the only place he could think of, where he had some control. For days, he would play Caden's recorded voice over and over again, and he would answer back, he would play back on the piano. And it occurred to Craig that this was a way he could communicate with his son. And this accompaniment that he was writing grew into songwriting. So for a year, Craig refused to leave his studio. And over time, he composed over 100 songs about his grief, visiting and revisiting the moment he stood over that silent crib. And this is what defines Cloud Cult. This is what sets them apart. At his lowest point, Craig created music over and over and over again. And when we listen to it, we can hear him kind of pulling himself up, song by song, from this black pit of despair. And meanwhile, Cloud Cult sings, "My little boy sleeps under the corn, and I will wake him when I'm feeling lonely." So we, his listeners, travel with him as he bears out the pain and slowly but surely makes himself better and better. And Craig is as aware of his journey away from despair and away from the encroaching insanity as we are. Well, his 2003 album, They Live on the Sun, is Craig venting his grief and his despair. His 2004 album, Aurora Borealis, starts to ask, what's it all about? Craig sent out demos to college radio stations obsessively, partly because everything he was doing at this point in his life was obsessive. And one day, he was listening, and he actually heard his song on the radio, his song which incorporated Caden's voice. And this triggered this profound realization for Craig that Caden's voice was traveling on radio waves. His energy was traveling through the universe. That realization inspired Craig to share the most beautiful things about his life and about Caden's life to as many people as possible. He wanted to communicate his energy to his audience and the energy that they sent back. Meanwhile, Cloud Cult sings, "Bless the wakeless on their journey, travel safely. We're the sleepless, always searching, light chasing." Around this time, Craig and Connie discovered artwork that that Caden had drawn on the side of a piece of furniture. And that drawing became Cloud Cult's symbol. It's a symbol of communication, of the transfer of energy, of the dance that brings the dead to the living, a message of hope and purpose and love. And so these are the themes that reverberate during live performances, making them feel like sacred territory. People who've lost someone go to shows and find strength in the music, and they find a sympathetic voice. Their appreciative letters to Cloud Cult help the members see the connections between doing something good for the environment and doing something good for the people who, however long, are living in it. Craig said he felt like he had a calling. And you can hear it. You can hear it in his performances as his bare feet are tapping a syncopated rhythm on stage every night in concert. In 2009, Craig and Connie welcomed their second son, Nova, into the world. And meanwhile, Cloud Cult sings, "I don't know why we're here, and I don't know how, but I'm here with you now. I am here with you now because you were born to change this life, to make things right, and to chase the light." And it's a message written specifically for Nova, but it's a message for everyone who cares to listen. As the message sails through the ether, maybe it'll cross our reply. Everyone here is trying so hard to make things a little better. All we are saying is step forward. Step forward. Bob asked us to show a brief documentary from Cloud Cult's website. And so if it's all hooked up now, I'll ask you to turn around and take a brief look.
concept of reaching enlightenment involves completely losing the ego and the self. I feel that the best performances are where you lose yourself.
This is just a domestic site. There's no such thing as time. If God is now out and everywhere, why is it so hard to find? Wanna be the guy who lives in the moment, not so lost in my mind. So I guess my show starts now. My show starts now.
My name is Craig Minowa, and I am singer-songwriter of Cloud Cult.
Everybody here is a cloud, and everybody here will look back up on the rainbows. You came up from the ground, from a million little pieces. Have you found all many places?
I feel like a Cloud Cult journey this whole time has been spiritual exploration, a search for the higher power, longing to find meaning and truth in life, and also to find our son, in a way, who passed away when he was two.
You were born into a strange world. Like a candle, you were meant to share the fire. I don't know where we come from, I don't know where we go. But my arms are made to hold you, so I will never let you go, cause you were born.
After our son passed away, and just really struggling to try and find answers and meaning and direction, and finding a lot in that journey, now having the opportunity to be a father again. I've got two kids now, and it reminds me of the importance of right now. Connie Minowa, who is my wife and also one of the live painters on stage, we've been together for 20 years. We were living up in Duluth at that time, and created Who Killed Puck? Who Killed Puck was the first CD under the Cloud Cult name, and I started working on that in 1996 and came up with the name Cloud Cult, not necessarily with any intention of having a band, going out playing live or anything like that. I had played in bands prior to that, and I really just wasn't comfortable with it. What I feel about music, and I feel that's a very sacred kind of expression.
I'm self-ambition, I'm going to find heaven. I make honey paper wings, I think they'll carry me well. I left you a love poem, the best I have written. My favorite words were the ones I couldn't spell.
The concentration then starts to get a little bit more into trying to peel back layers of the self, because there's a lot of layers between the outside world and the inner self that get in the way. If we're not conscious about them and really deal with the fact that we've got to look ourselves in the mirror and face the ugly things over and over and get them out, we're never going to get to that true power that I think that we're born to be here to put out.
I heard crap on the transistor radio. They'll be turning his bones 20 years ago. He said, kid, there's something that I'd like to show you. Get your things, it's time for us to go.
The creation process is different from most bands because I have a studio at home. I like to just record things when I need to, and I really like to sit and digest every moment of the song and make sure that I'm feeling right about it. It's not something of where we get together and just jam and figure out what it's going to be. It's usually orchestrated. Since I do scoring work, everything is orchestrated already and recorded like that. And then they'll come in and record individual parts, and then that gives it sort of a human, gives it the human feel to it. Stage needs to be a spiritual experience for me, and it's our responsibility as musicians in the band to be completely present and completely devoted to putting all of ourselves into it. With the last couple of albums, there's been more fans that have come to us with personal life crises that they've gone through, and you know, you get a lot of these personal stories, and it's hard to not be really, you know, emotional about it. And what's beautiful about this group of people is that we hear these stories, we experience them together, and you can tell before we go on stage that everybody in the band is grounding themselves and realizing that I have a mission here, I have a calling. And they all go out there and do it, and I look at them on stage and they're having that same kind of just empowering experience, and it's quite elevating. We have so much energy, but you can't see. The chemistry and collection of people that we have now after all these years is really profound, and they're all very deep and connected to the messaging behind it. The new album is called Love, and it's the 10th Cloud Cult album. And in reaching the 10th album, I looked back on the albums and felt like the recurring answer was really simple in a way, which is love. And it's interesting because it's become such a cliched kind of thing, but it really is a pretty powerful thing. Drive, baby, drive until your troubles come. Run, baby, run until it all goes numb. You are the wind, the blood and the flame. Nothing you can get in your way. You've gone too far, girl, they say. Now you're the only thing in your way. The opportunity to be a father again reminds me of the importance of being present and embracing the beautiful moments that we have with each other, with our family, with our friends, and with this very short life. Who knows how much time I have left?
I think it's really interesting to look back at the last Cloud Cult performance that they had in the area, because I saw so many familiar faces there. I feel like I don't need to tell you anything else about Cloud Cult, but I'm interested if anyone has any questions or any comments. I'll tell you this, when Bob said he was going to do this, I said, you should give Craig a call, see if he'd do this himself.
And he did.
Yeah? Did he call Craig?
He called Craig, and Craig said he doesn't do public speaking.
Yeah. Okay.
just internet public speaking.
They operate out of someplace in Wisconsin?
Viroqua, yeah.
Where was the performance?
It was in Arcadia.
So not too far for either of us. Yeah, Paul.
I'll talk about it. The Arcadia experience was actually really impressive. I will say this, in my personal life, pretty much the most religious experience I had was the first time I saw this band when I just heard the Feel Good Ghosts, that CD. And I was like, okay, this is all right. This was at the St. John's Block Party. And 5 minutes within the concert, I'm like, oh, now I get it. But what was amazing was in Arcadia, they were going to be the second to last band, but Ingrid Michaelson was supposed to be the headliner. She had to cancel due to health issues with her mother. So Cloudcult got moved to the top billing. And there were so many people in the crowd that nobody knew who they were at all. And it was an amazing thing to see people's reactions. And then afterwards, during the fireworks, I was just randomly chatting with people to see if they'd ever seen them before and all that. And everyone was like, this was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. That was, you know, to me, it was like getting to relive my first experience with them over again. It was wonderful.
It was a great show, yeah.
Yeah, probably one of the best shows.
Several things I'd like to say. One of the things about this band is I, as a grief counselor, I use their music a lot with students I work with. Second, it is an experience that our family, the two generations in our family, have shared and connected over like no other music. I'm a little obsessed with them. I think I listen to Step Forward as my song of the week, and I listen to it probably 20 times this week.
Me too.
I wanted to tell everyone, if you don't know it, a book was recently written on them by a professor at St. Olaf, Mark Allister, happens to be Isaac's advisor. And he's in town Tuesday night at the bookshelf reading from the book. And Wednesday night, he is in St. Paul with Craig Minowa and the band. It's Wednesday night, middle of the week, hard to get there, but Craig is actually going to be part of the Q&A there. And I'll just share, I kind of go through favorite songs, and my favorite song for a while now has been one called Complicated Creation, and my family gets tired of me quoting this line. My favorite line is, some days you give thanks, and some days you give the finger. It's a complicated creation.
Thank you very much. I knew that the book had come out. I didn't realize we're going to be at the bookshelf. That's fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much, John. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
And I want to thank Jenna for going to get the dog. So, and Paul, I mean, this is why we live in a religious community, right? So when one guy screws up, everybody else can back him up. So Paul called the tech guy that he happens to know personally. Jenna went to get the dongle, and by golly, it happened. So yay. All right, if you would all please rise in body or spirit, we're going to sing hymn 346.
Thank you.
Please be seated for music, followed by a brief period for silent meditation.
So what do you do for musical meditation after hearing Cloud Cult? We are going to play a Cloud Cult song. I feel like we need to make our apologies to Cloud Cult. But we offered this to you as a musical go in peace.
you guys.